Donald Trump is working on establishing his very own international organization, and we should talk about it because over the weekend in the media, in outlets like Haaretz, we read that Trump's Gaza Board of Peace aims to rival the United Nations, the charter shows. So what is this and how should we understand it? Is Trump actually trying to build its a rival UN organization? I would argue no. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing is something very Trumpian. He tries to build an organization for him and himself alone that he can use as a vehicle once he's even out of office as President of the United States. Let's see how we have to understand this. This message here has to do with the charter of the Board of Peace that was sent out over the weekend to 50 or more states. And luckily, we have the text of that Board of Peace, and we have the text. I must correct that we don't have the text from an official source yet, at least not one that I could find, but the Times of Israel is claiming that it has seen and has actually published the full text of the charter. And for let's suppose that this is the actual charter text. It reads to me like something that I can believe. So let's just go through this text and then I will try to explain to you what's currently going on. The charter itself is not very long and it is quite something, I promise you, for anyone who has seen these documents before. And maybe the good news first, Trump is not building a rival UN. Trump is not creating an alternative structure, but he definitely is trying to set something up that can be a vehicle for him. The first article in the mission of the charter already states what it is going to be. The Board of Peace is an international organization that seeks to promote stability, restore dependable and lawful governance, and secure enduring peace in areas affected or threatened by conflict. The Board of Peace shall undertake such peace-building functions in accordance with international law and as may be approved in accordance with this charter. And I think that the key word here is really peace building functions, and maybe we should even take away the peace, but we should focus on building, because Donald Trump here is in this charter does not include, for instance, an article on military power of the board. It doesn't include an article on collective self-defense, so this is not a form of an alliance. It's all about setting up an organization as shallow and as hollow as possible, but with him as the kingpin. We will go through this in a moment, just so you see how far the powers of the chairman go, because he appoints through this charter himself as the chairman of the organization, and the chairman is really more or less the king of the organization, who has all the power in his hands. Let me just maybe back off for one moment and show you that the White House recently also made a statement on January 16th about Donald Trump welcoming the establishment of the so-called National Committee for the Administration of Gaza, the NCAG. Now, what is the NCAG? It is the structure or the governance board that is envisioned by the peace process, Trump's peace process at the United Nations. I must maybe also say here, all of this is a very big insult, actually, and a sham to any real peace process that would take into consideration all sides' needs, especially the Palestinian needs. But for the sake of this video, which is about explaining the structure that Donald Trump tries to build, I will leave all moral considerations aside. We are just going to focus on what Trump is trying to do and what kind of organization he's trying to establish. So I just want to explain the different parts to this plan as we are seeing it. And one part is this National Committee for the Administration of Gaza, which is actually made separately out of 10-15 members of Palestinian descent in and outside of Gaza. And I'm sorry, I'm relying here on Wikipedia. The Wikipedia has just been the fastest so far at integrating different data points. So this committee was only formed on the 16th of January. I speak to you today on the 19th, so 3 days ago. And this is the kernel of what is envisioned to be a future administrative body, a technocratic body made of Palestinians in Gaza of Palestinians to administer Gaza on the Palestinian side. And I must emphasize this is going to be on the Palestinian side, and we have several members of here that will all have some portfolios. Ali Shatah will be the chair, Abdul Karim Ashour, responsible for agriculture. You can see how this board of Palestinians is made in a way to then resemble the kernel of a governance structure for Gaza post Hamas and post slaughter, I suppose, which at the moment is still going on, post genocide. But so this is on the side of the Palestinians. And then what's happening is that Donald Trump, on his side, on his board of peace side, is building an international structure that then will have oversight over this National Committee for Administration of Gaza. So the National Committee is anything but sovereign. It is nothing but the implementation partner on the ground for what the Board of Peace is going to do. Now, the confusing thing is that currently Donald Trump is building several aspects of the Board of Peace, and what he recently sent out, the charter, actually, the charter of the Board of Peace doesn't mention Gaza even once. The charter only talks about the structure of the Board of Peace, which is strange because the Board of Peace is, of course, supposed to be the implementation structure from the side of the international community, justified by a very, in my view, misguided United Nations Security Council resolution. That's this one here, Resolution 2803. This resolution was adopted last year in the 17th of November by the Security Council. In favor of this, of the three big powers was the United States, the UK and France, and the Russia and China abstained from voting on this, which is why it passed. It was a surprise. I thought they would torpedo this, but in the end, Russia and China let it pass. And in the Security Council resolution, what we read, and again, this has been passed, therefore it is now it's now a binding resolution of the United Nations. It says that it welcomes the establishment of the Board of Peace as a transitional administration with international legal personality. And this is very key to understanding what Trump is doing. He's trying to build his own little kingdom, his own little international organization of which he is king, with international personality. This is very different from just having a corporation, you know, an LLC or a stock company in the United States, or having one in Switzerland or one in Japan, because this is envisioned to have the same legal international personality as the United Nations or as other international organizations that are operating on intergovernmental basis. Take the Bank for International Settlement, take the IMF. Those organizations are created by treaty and then hover on top of the nation states and actually between the nation states. And Donald Trump is trying to build his very own such organization. And it's important that you know this, because the entire legal construction now hinges upon this resolution 2803, because it is the blessing from the Security Council that this Board of Peace shall be established. The stupid thing, of course, in my view, that the Security Council did is that it gave its blessing before that thing actually really existed. To talk about this, I created a little PowerPoint explanation. I hope this makes sense, because it's really quite confusing what disease is doing at the moment, but it all has a very clear structure. So on the one hand, you have Donald Trump himself, who is appointed as the chairman of that organization. And we will look at that. The charter mentions Donald Trump by name. It's not the president of the United States that's being crowned chairman. It's Donald Trump himself by the charter. And I've never seen a charter of an international organization that works like this, because usually you appoint people who have some function in the state, not individuals. But it just shows how much this is shaped to be a leak of Trump, or whatever we want to call it. So under the chairman, what is happening right now is that an executive board is being formed, and Mr. Trump actually informs us about this in the in his little statement. Here, the founding executive board has been formed, and this founding executive board includes Secretary Marco Rubio, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, Tony Blair, and a couple of others, which are all appointed by Donald Trump. The chairman appoints everybody. He can appoint whoever he wants. And this is going to be the founding executive board that will then launch all of these activities.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, it's his job to keep the power on. That's why he chooses Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call, click, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's go back to this little scheme here. At the same time, now the Board of Peace and Donald Trump is establishing other organs, what we call them in international law, of this organization. One is the Gaza Executive Board, and the other one is the International Stabilization Force. Now, this is where it gets confusing. So the Board of Peace has an executive board and a Gaza executive board. Again, this is all inside the White House briefing here, because the White House wants to have somebody to work with the National Committee that was formed, right, on Gaza. But Trump doesn't want it to be the executive board itself. He creates a second board that then deals with Gaza. In support of the Office of the High Representative of the NCAG, a Gaza Executive Board is being established. The board will help support effective governance and the delivery of best-in-class services that advance peace, stability, and prosperity for the people in Gaza. The appointed members are Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, Minister Hakan Fidan, Ali Al-Tawadi. Hakan Fidan, as far as I understand, is the foreign minister of Turkey, and a couple of others, including also Tony Blair. But you see, these people sit now on both boards, right? They are on the executive board and they are on the Gaza board. So Donald Trump actually takes these things apart to kind of already separate the functions here. And lastly, we have an International Stabilization Force. This is, of course, the military arm of this peace plan that is then supposed to make sure that the IDF at some point will withdraw from Gaza, although I think that is highly illusionary. But this International Stabilization Force is being put in place by the power of the of the Security Council. Actually, the Security Council authorizes the BOP, the Plan of Action, and also authorizes member states to work with the BOP and to create this International Stabilization Force. So the ISF is done and created through the blessing of the Security Council, and it is of course then the implementation is done through the Board of Peace, which is why this is such a big deal, right? The board has the authority then even over this International Stabilization Force, but I must then emphasize that the ISF is not part of how Trump is currently setting up the Board of Peace itself. So the ISF remains separate, and as I see it, what we will have is then basically the ISF and Gaza Executive Board working together to then implement the will of Donald Trump in Gaza. Now, what over the weekend happened is that Trump sent out the Board of Peace charter, and he's now trying to put in between the executive board and the Gaza board another board. So there's a lot of boards going on, and that's the Board of Peace, and the members of the Board of Peace. It's confusing, but the executive board is going to be like this, you know, the secretariat of the United Nations. It's going to look a bit like the Secretary General and his office in the United Nations, who's running the day-to-day business, whereas the Board of Peace itself, the board, is made of the either presidents or prime ministers of different countries. We'll come to that in a second. But this would be then the political level, the kind of UN General Assembly, if you want, but it will never ever resemble that at all. But if we stay within the parallels, it is established upon the vision of the charter, right? And the charter is what has been sent out. The charter is what we now, for the first time, see here in the through the times of Israel. And the charter really is like the constitution of a country, right? Charter for an international organization is like the constitution of a country. It's the basic law. It's the fundamental rules according to which the organization is established. So, and this charter, again, doesn't mention Gaza at all. It only mentions the functioning of the organization. And the scary thing is that this organization is already made in a way that Mr. Trump maintains all powers over it. Mr. Trump is responsible for appointing who gets invited to join the board and who doesn't get invited. So it's not the membership of the board is not universal, unless Mr. Trump says, like, I want to invite this state, no invitation will go out. And then these states can decide whether they want to have one representative on the board itself or not. So no coincidence probably that Iran will not sit on this board until and unless there will be a regime change. Just in terms of the structure, let's finish this. The entire international law rationale of why this is legal and why this organization then works and where it gets its authority from is this United Nations Security Council Resolution 2803. That's where the entire legitimacy emanates from. This is one of the cases where Donald Trump actually seems to care about international law and where he seems to try to model his creations according to, like, you know, structures that are quite defined. And then beneath this, of course, we then in the end have Gaza, which is the entire reason why the UN gave its consent to the Board of Peace. But the above Gaza is this national committee that we just saw. And in the end, right now, it is the Board of Peace, the executive board and the Gaza executive board that are going to deal with the NCAG and the International Stabilization Force that's going to, in the end, be the military force to patrol what is happening directly in Gaza. So that's the structure for now. And what I'm telling you is that what Mr. Trump is working on is already preparing to basically shift it around as follows, to make sure that the whole Gaza issue becomes nothing but one arm, one branch of what is happening, and you have the Gaza Executive Board responsible for Gaza and the International Stabilization Force, and that remains on one side, and then on the other side, you're going to have a lovely little international organization, the Board of Peace, which itself can then deal with anything it wants, and because it has legal personality, and it can do so without being bound by concrete laws of one or the other nation. This is, of course, where the value of such an organization is. Again, let's go again to this charter, because once this international organization exists, and member states participate, it then acquires this legal international personality, and it gets immunity immunity from national laws, it gets immunity from all kinds of policing mechanisms, right? And it's going to be basically, it's not sovereign, but it is outside of the legal frameworks of this or that state, just like the United Nations. The United Nations has one seat in New York, another seat in Geneva, and although the Geneva is in Switzerland and Switzerland has well-established labor laws, these labor laws do not apply to the United Nations. The UN doesn't have to follow them at all, and the UN doesn't follow them. And the UN is actually notorious for being a pretty bad employer in Switzerland, because they really leech off their little and part-time employees, whereas they pay very good salaries to the full-timers, but the little ones and part-timers, they get almost nothing. That would be not allowed under Swiss law, but because the UN is not responsible, does not have to answer to Swiss law, they can do what they want. And that's what Donald Trump is building. And again, I think what he is doing is he wants a very large, unconstrained, basically investment fund for then doing business internationally and building stuff. I think the building in peace building is really the main thing. He wants a large investment fund. Let's just look at how this is set up. The charter says under chapter 2 membership that members in the board of peace is limited to states invited to participate by the chairman. Again, like if we go back, right? What I'm telling you here is that the board itself, the board members, what he's currently establishing, is the political arm, and the political arm doesn't exist yet. Only the executive arm exists, and in the political arm, what he's now doing is he's saying, like, okay, anyone I invite can join. Again, why I'm not hugely worried that he's trying to do something very malicious is that he's not trying to build an alliance. Actually, Article 2.2b says that nothing in this charter shall be construed to give the Board of Peace jurisdiction within the territory of member states or require member states to participate in particular peace-building missions without their consent. This has nothing to do with trying to create a military intervention force or whatnot. It's all about giving legitimacy to Donald Trump's organization. Paragraph C, 2.2c, each member state shall serve a term of no more than 3 years from this charter's entry into force, subject to renewal by the German. So the charter, any member state can participate for 3 years, but then it's going to be out. But get this, the three-year membership term shall not apply to member states that contribute more than $1 billion in cash funds to the Board of Peace within the first year of the charter's entry into force.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith Qudsi, Allah.
This is a money grab. It's a money grab. Donald Trump is setting up an international wallet, his own personal international wallet, and he's going to try to fill it with as much money as he can, and that money at the end is going to be under his supervision, together with a couple of dignitaries from around the world who, however, sit there at his request, and anything the board does needs the chairman's consent. So it's a large international kind of money grab scheme that will then continue living even beyond the end of his term in 2028, I believe, right? That's when he will have to leave office as the President of the United States. So he's already preparing his next steps. It's a business move that a businessman, like, obviously is working on. So here we go. Under the governance of the board, it again shows how far-reaching the powers of the chairman are. The Board of Peace consists of its member states, and the agenda is of the meetings shall be set by the executive board, subject to notice and comment by member states and approval of the chairman. Without approval of the chairman, no agenda will ever be set for the meetings. Each member state shall have one vote on the board. Decisions shall be made by a majority of member states present and voting, subject to the approval of the chairman. So the chairman always has a veto in this structure, meaning that first, nothing can actually be discussed without the chairman saying okay to it, and secondly, nothing can be passed without the chairman agreeing to it. I mean, this is really, you know, the Trump Inc. International, right? At this point, and here the chairman. I just must emphasize again: the charter says the chairman is Donald J. Trump. And he shall serve as the inaugural chairman on the Board of Peace and shall separately serve as inaugural representative of the United States of America. The chairman shall have exclusive authority to create, modify, or dissolve subsidiary entities as necessary or appropriate to fulfill the board's peace mission. So Trump will set up the entire structure the way that he wants, like this Gaza board. Why can he just make that up? Because he can, because he just wrote the charter that said that he can, anything up to his free will, right? This is, of course, a little bit precarious because Mr. Trump is already 79, turning 80 this year. So there is a replacement provision saying that the chairman shall at all times designate a successor for the role of chairman. Replacement of the chairman may occur only following voluntary resignation or as a result of incapacity as determined by a unanimous vote of the executive board. So even if Donald Trump dies, even if he dies before resigning, the board will then have to have a unanimous decision. And if there's no unanimous decision, there will not be a replacement. So Mr. Trump may very well sure that he will be in charge as long as he wants, and he will give over the reins of this structure to whoever he wants, and only once he wants it, wants to do this, right? So there's nothing that prevents the organization then going into the hands, like, say, of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, or one of his other offspring. This could be then basically a hereditary international organization if they choose to make it such. It's because it's basically in the hands of the chairman, right? Can go to anyone, successors, at any time to be determined by Mr. Trump. And, you know, it is also, it's very anachronistic. I mean, we don't do this anymore in international or treaties usually, that we designate somebody a chairman, either it's a chairperson or just chair in order to keep it gender neutral. But this is so clearly tailored to be Mr. Trump's organization that somewhere in the text there's even the word he used in order to refer to the chairman. So there's no thinking at all that this could ever be a female. It's just quite astonishing, which is why, again, I don't think Mr. Trump is building any kind of rival structure to the UN. He's really just building his own next corporation, international corporation. The executive board shall be selected, of course, by the chairman. The chairman appoints everybody, like Jared Kushner and so on. Everything done by the chairman. They have financial provisions. They can establish accounts. They can establish bank accounts and have them. The legal status, the Board of Peace is, and its subsidiary entities possess international legal personality. Again, that's what I told you before. They're not answerable to the laws of the United States. Actually, at some point, they will have to negotiate a host country agreement where the United States, as the U.S., will sign that the Board of Peace will reside, you know, let's say in New York, just like the U.N. resides in New York, but that the U.S. police and military cannot go into the premises of this organization. It's going to be very much like the IMF. It's going to be very much like the International Bank for Settlement, but with, let's probably a building and an investment focus. But again, not under the laws of any country. The Board of Peace shall ensure the provision of such privileges and immunities. And Donald Trump, as chair, will have diplomatic immunity forever. Forever. And the chair of this board will have diplomatic immunity forever. You won't be able to prosecute them, because they're gonna be the sitting chairs of this international organization, right? And the U.S., the Donald Trump, I'm pretty sure, will make sure that he, as the president of the United States, will sign a agreement with the board that's what it is, and he will have it ratified in the U.S. Senate, and thereby, you know, I mean, this is, he's just a very this is a very clever plan to then have your own little investment vehicle, international one, through which you can do whatever you want. I just want to point out there's an article on dispute resolution, which is not a dispute resolution at all, because usually that should contain like how to deal with disputes and who the higher authority is, that, you know, arbitration court or a national court, the International Criminal, the International Court of Justice, for instance. But no, the Board of Peace is the fiefdom of Donald Trump, which is why the ultimate arbiter about disputes is always going to be the chairman, is the final authority. It is a joke. It is a joke, but it's a joke that it actually has very good chances now to go through and to become an international organization. An interesting thing is, though, that obviously Mr. Trump doesn't trust this board very much. He's not. It shows that he's not sure whether this thing will be useful or not. So he actually already built in a kill switch. This is also very interesting. The conditions for dissolution. I just want to read this to you. The Board of Peace shall dissolve at such time as the chairman considers necessary or appropriate, or at the end of every odd-numbered calendar year, unless renewed by the chairman no later than November 21st of such odd-numbered calendar year.
Quickest way to shrink your prostate.
Best way to fix prostate problems? Saw palmetto? Nope. What about Flomax?
So, he, of course, the chairman, can dissolve at any time, and if he doesn't renew it every other year, then it will also die by itself. So it has a kill switch. This means, of course, in conjunction with the provisions for the next chairman, that if we end up in a situation where the chairman dies or gets incapacitated, and then the board cannot decide on a successor because you need unanimity, so all of the board members need to say yes to a successor. But if they cannot decide on one and another odd year comes about, then the whole organization will die. So there's a situation thinkable in which, you know, because you're not able to take a decision, the organization itself will die. And I don't know of a single international organization that has a kill switch like this. It's quite extraordinary. I guess the reason why they talk about every other odd year, every odd year, is because actually in the resolution, United Nations, the Security Council Resolution 2803, actually has a provision that says that this resolution is valid for until the end of 2027. Here it is. The BOP and international civil and security presence in Gaza is authorized by this resolution and shall remain authorized until December 31st, 2027. So the resolution actually needs to be reaffirmed to maintain its validity, and it seems that Trump is kind of modeling the Board of Peace after this 2027 resolution, like, expiry date. Plus, again, I think he doesn't trust his own this creation very much yet, so he wants it to be dissolvable in case something goes wrong. But as we can see, right, this organization is already built in a way that it's just like, you know, Trump's little fiefdom. And so this is my interpretation of what is going on, and I suppose that he will use this if it comes to fly as a way then to first get in billions of dollars of donor money that he can then use at his own discretion and have, you know, something to do even after stepping down as president of the United States, and also being shielded legally against all and any claims. And probably he will use it as a large investment fund for I suppose building purposes and acquiring land, because in theory this organization can of course buy land or get land from member states that then itself becomes like an international international, like, legal exempted premise. It's basically this organization could then declare plots of land that it buys and develops as basically very similar to the way that embassies are run, right? Extraterritorial. So you can build around the world extraterritorial, I don't know, Trump plazas, where you can do gambling, where you can do whatnot, because you can give them extraterritorial status because you're an international organization that is built and founded upon an international treaty. The Security Council resolution and the charter that Mr. Trump is building now, the BOP charter, if it is ratified by three member states, it comes into force, and then it will have the, under international law, it will have the force of being a treaty. And as such, the treaty body then can, in theory, go very, very far with what it can do and how it can interact with member states without these member states binding the organization by their laws. It's bizarre. It's a very, very bizarre thing that's going on, and it has certainly nothing to do anymore with Gaza as its prime objective. The fact that Gaza isn't mentioned even once in this charter shows us so much. On the other hand, it's not a rival organization to the UN. It has a similar character under international law, but it is never going to be. It's not set up to be a counter UN. But his own little international investment fund, of which I've never seen something like this. But he takes advantage of any option given. Call it opportunistic, call it genius, whatever you want. But it seems to me that this is where we are headed. I will certainly keep reporting on this once we know more. Again, at the moment, we're at the stage where the Board of Peace itself has to be established and the treaty, the charter needs to be ratified or needs to be accepted and then ratified by three states in order to come into formal legal existence and have force under international law. We're not there yet. We will see where this will go, but, as you can be assured, the United States is going to be part of it, Israel is going to be part of it, and it's not going to be very difficult to find a third member to join and ratify this, which then gives it its international force. Whether or not the organization is then successful in getting a lot of these billions and billions of dollars from member states is another question. But once it has this international status, Donald Trump will be able to use it and yield it. And again, for the time being, it is still connected to the Gaza question, but the Gaza question is very much a sideshow. Thank you very much for your attention.